recording.
You're listening to the podcast network. Listen, learn, evolve.
Hey, hello. I'm like in your brain or in by your ears. This is just a note to say that the podcast you're about to listen to is brought to you by the dudes at Motorola. Okay, enjoy, dude.
Hi, this is Sid.
G'day, Sid. This is Cameron. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Who's that photo of in your Skype profile? That's not you.
It is me.
That doesn't look like you.
It's the cropping.
Oh, that's what it is. Oh, of course, you've actually got a top to your head in real life. That's what the difference is.
That's right.
How's it going in Salt Lake? Are you actually in Salt Lake City? You're somewhere near there, I know.
Yep, we are. Yep.
How's it going in Salt Lake City today, Sid?
You know, it's freezing. It's about 30 degrees. We get a low of 9 at night right now.
Aren't you guys in the desert?
We're a desert, so we have, no real humidity, but we sit in the mountains. We get massive amounts of snow. So our ski resorts will probably open here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. They're getting dumped on this last week, so.
You know, I was just reading a bit of a history about Salt Lake City and Joseph Smith and the other guys and the whole deal recently. Fascinating story.
Yeah, it has a good culture.
I wouldn't like to be
a really good culture.
Founding a city in the middle of nowhere a couple of hundred years ago. I reckon that would have been some scary stuff.
Yeah, exactly. The nice part is where it sits, there's this great valley, and it's got great natural resources with, everything from things like coal to the granite mountains to water sources. So that makes it a lot better.
Sounds wonderful. Now,
it is beautiful.
Sid, since we caught up in New York a month and a bit ago, what's been happening I should explain to people, I guess, Sydney Tetro, I have to say that slowly, because I always get to say Cindy. Sydney Tetro, the VP of Product and Corporate Marketing, is that the correct title?
Yeah, that's correct.
With NextPage. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about NextPage?
Yep, I would be happy to. So at NextPage, we're all about solving problems in the document space. We started the company in 99. We were, and when we did that, we actually acquired some technologies around document publishing. We built that business up, made it profitable, and along the way, we found that there was just this huge opportunity to go in and almost disrupt what current document management vendors were doing, meaning we found huge attrition in how people used document management type software, where people were spending millions of dollars for ultimately 10 people in the firm to use it because it just wasn't built for the way people work. And we found this as we were working with a whole bunch of customers. And so we went about developing an entire kind of document service to solve that problem that lets users basically just, from our perspective, work like they normally work but get all the benefits that they were always looking for from the document management applications. So we actually sold off our other business unit to deploy all capital against this current product that we released, or this current kind of initiative. We released the first product earlier this year, another rev in September, and then we've got a whole bunch of exciting stuff coming out next year.
Hey, Sid, your microphone's popping a bit. Can you...
My microphone's popping?
Yeah. When you say your peas are popping.
Okay.
Can you pull it back maybe, a centimeter?
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Let's see. We'll say a pea. Okay. Yeah,
that's good. Okay, so I don't understand anything about document management, but I'll assume that that's all good stuff that you just told me.
That's right. We think so.
So, now you were on stage with us at BlogOn in New York talking about how you've been using podcasting, and we were really excited to find you. I know when Sue Charman came across your story, I think via John Furrier from PodTech, that you've been doing some work with, because we really struggled in the lead up to BlogOn to find companies in the US that were doing what we thought genuinely interesting stuff with podcasting. There were some companies that are doing smarmy type podcasts, that it's just, pushing their product message, or the CEO talking about the quarterly results, that kind of stuff, which I guess is valid, but not really what we think about in terms of a clue train application of podcasting. But you guys are doing something really, really cool. So tell people a little bit about what you're doing and how you got started using podcasting.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. So it was earlier this summer, I was actually at the Supernova conference, and that's actually where I met John, who had started, you know, his podcast channel, and we started having this conversation, and for me it became really clear that there was this really interesting thing that could happen for us around podcasting. So as a startup company looking to get a message out, and even I think more importantly than just getting our message out, it's very important for us to also be able to tell the bigger story and give people a bigger perspective outside of just Next Page. So, you know, as we actually recorded a couple of podcasts and we did those, we kind of came back and strategized, and I said, you know, there's just some really great things that we can do with podcasts, because what it allows us to do is have just a really genuine conversation with people. And one of the, did I lose you? No. And one of the great things about that is that I really fundamentally believe that there's kind of, for us anyway, there's two aspects of how I look at the podcast. One is there's this opportunity to educate a market around things, not around Next Page. I don't really think people want to hear about Next Page in a whole podcast series, but about really important things that affect businesses and the way that businesses operate and the way that people work. And I think that there's a really very interesting approach to that education of market. And then I also believe that there's this other really interesting approach about podcasts in the way that we actually present collateral for our products. So I really do not believe, just like events have kind of gone away and they're having to reinvent themselves, traditional product collateral and the way that you get your message out and tell people about what you do is also undergoing a major change. No one that I know really, really picks up, reads a PDF that says something about a product or picks up a Slick anymore, because we've just changed the way we do business. So if I can provide people better ways to get educated about things that they care about and also about our product, it ultimately helps us and it helps the market in general. And it's a really, really effective means. You know, we can sit down with someone and record in 10 minutes a segment about something and then provide that to people. And now all of a sudden they have this opportunity, whether they're commuting on the train, whether they're flying on an airplane, they're sitting in a hotel room, or they're heading into a meeting with us. Now all they have to do is say, oh, hey, let me just catch up on that. They get the whole scoop, and they also understand it in more of a dialogue form, where now we're creating more of a relationship with people than just a one-way, hey, here's my message, hopefully you like it.
Okay, so you said a lot of interesting things in there. When you're producing your podcasts, do you do different categories of podcasts? Do you do the like standalone product collateral casts and standalone interviews with business people, nothing to do with Next Page directly podcasts, or do you bundle them all up together?
No, I try to separate them out and be pretty clear about that distinction, because I think that's important and helps kind of generate trust with the audience. So I want them to know, hey, if you're gonna listen to this one, you really are embarking on listening to us talk about the product. Versus if you're listening to this one, this really is, you know, hopefully to help educate you on some important topic inside of business. So in one of the series that we did, we actually went through and said, okay, you know, as part of Next Page, what are other kind of facets of the industry that touch us that we could also provide good content about? So we went and recruited the Bob O'Connor, who's the managing partner of the Wilson Sonsini office here in Utah, and we had him do a podcast with us. And then we had Paul Alstrom, who's one of the partners at a venture capital firm, do a podcast with us. And then we did invite some customers in different segments, not necessarily so they could talk just about Next Page, but also about the problems that they're running into, what problems they're trying to solve. And I've got the governor in my sight, so I've just got to get him lined up here in the next few months.
Excellent. And have you done anything like focus groups with customers about your product and put that out there?
You know, I haven't done those yet, but that has been interesting that you mentioned that. That's kind of been one of the ideas rolling around in my head, is how can we even create kind of more conversations with those trusted people? Because we have a lot of great customers who are people who tend to find us on the web, and they're in really interesting businesses all over the world, and I think that they, you know, inside of even a small forum could be really interesting. Interestingly enough, one of the, you just reminded me, I actually co-chair a marketing executive forum here in the state, and we had Sue Sharman come in and do a presentation with us, and those type of forums where I've got, you know, 35 of the top executives from various companies in the state in a room listening to a presentation and having an interaction. We actually did it over Skype and with iChat. I think those potentially become really valuable resources that other people can, you know, tune into. We didn't actually record that, but I think events like those are really interesting ways to also provide message and get people educated and provide, you know, better, more conversational content in the market.
Yeah, she does a great job, doesn't she? So, you know, I taught her everything she knows.
I can tell.
she was nothing until she started podcasting with me. Now, only kidding. She's a ledge. Now, listen, you guys really take this seriously from a podcasting perspective, because on the front page of your site, it says, "Get the podcast." There's not a lot of that out there today. That's really impressive. But when I click on that, it takes me to like your blog/podcast page, which kind of needs updating, mate. So what are you doing?
It does, actually. So you caught me right in the midst of some transition stuff. So
transition we're actually stuff. Right.
We're separating out the podcast from the blogs, and because we're going to use and allow basically anyone who wants to be able to blog inside of their domains and inside of the places that make sense for them. And then we're separating out the podcast, and we're just literally getting ready in the next week and a half to record a whole new series of podcasts. We just ordered our own equipment in also, so that we can get those in a more systematic, timely fashion, because I really, really believe in the value of podcasts. I can't tell you how many times that, you know, once we record one and it gets posted, that we have customers come back to us, or people from, you know, the past that reconnect with us, or say, "Hey, I'm going to be in Utah. I want to stop in your office." And it's just been, it really has been amazing the amount of kind of feedback and conversations that it's allowed us to create that we would never have otherwise.
So what kind of equipment are you getting in?
So we're not doing anything expensive. It's like we're getting in a couple of microphones, an MP3 recorder, and a soundboard, just a little soundboard that has four ports.
Okay. Now, listen, if I go to the next page, to product overview page on your website, it says I can watch a demo and I can download a trial. I don't see anything here saying, you know, download podcast product collateral. Am I looking in the wrong place?
No, you're not looking in the wrong place there. Actually, I just updated all of the podcast collateral, and I did not post that there, but you caught me at a good place, because they will go right there where you're looking in the right-hand channels, where it says, like, try it for free.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be a great place to say, look, if you'd like to get a snapshot of what the product's all about, you know, check out this 10-minute podcast, and where we, you know, some of our customers explain how they use it and what they do with it and the value of it. And I mean, I just think that's an incredible application of, I mean, I guess it's not really a podcast in the literal sense of the word. If it doesn't have RSS, it's really just an MP3 file, but you could then use that as an entree to get people to subscribe to your regular podcasts, I guess.
That's right, exactly. I mean, it's easy enough to include the RSS feed for that. That's actually one of the reasons that we put the podcast and blogs together initially, but we'll kind of iron that out in the future, is because what we will do with most of our podcasts is also transcribe certain ones of them so that they can be posted as blogs, which will allow us to then make them searchable and indexed on the blog sites, which at this stage, because you can't really index MP3 or audio files or even video files, I like the ability to transcribe them to blogs, because then they get picked up and syndicated even better.
Yeah, didn't we talk about that in New York? I mean, I've always been confused when people talk about that, because with every podcast I've done in the last 12 months, there's always show notes associated with it on the blog page that say, "Hey, here's what we talked about today." That gets indexed by Google. Isn't
it does.
That the same thing?
You know, it probably depends on the length of what those notes look like, just, you know, by the nature of the algorithms of how they search. As long as you're optimizing those so that the tags are right and they get picked up by those, you're right, it probably doesn't matter either way. But I think you have to have something there, you know, whether it's in short form or long form, so that they get picked up.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. You have to have something that enables Google to find it.
That's right. And the other thing I do like is then the ability for the podcast to be linked into iTunes. So, because that also overcomes a little bit of the RSS feed. Now, I don't believe that, you know, there's thousands and tens of thousands of people who want to listen to the Next Page channel about the product, but I do believe that that is true for the higher market education issues, that there's an opportunity to also provide that content through iTunes so it gets syndicated out to larger audiences.
Yeah. Now, you've had an interesting career, Sydney. You go way back. You're a beta tester at WordPerfect, I believe.
That's right, on the Vax VMS, which is a really, really old.
you're not old enough to have been around since then, are you?
Well, you know, that's where I started a long time ago. I was still in college when I started doing that there.
You banned me from your community. How could you? I have freedom of speech. I have a right to be on your privately owned community. I will now go to other communities and post complete made-up lies about you. I will steal your users. You will pay. You oversensitive, ungrateful, megalomaniac.
Is this a part of your life, too? Hi, this is Patrick O'Keefe, host of the Community Admin Show on the Podcast Network. And if it is, you'll love my show. We talk about the management and cultivation of online communities, including interviews with other successful community administrators. Listener questions are encouraged, so if you'd like some advice on dealing with a banned user, please write in and I will take it on the air. Once again, that's the Community Admin Show on the Podcast Network. You can find it at communityadmin.thepodcastnetwork.com.
G'day everyone, Cameron with a short break, short community announcement, short ad for G'day World. Listen, what would be really cool, we know that a lot of you are downloading shows and listening to them on your MP3. We also know that a lot of you are just streaming them over your PC or your Mac. What would be really cool if we could get more of you to subscribe to the shows via RSS and get them back. And it makes sure that you guys don't miss anything as well, that, you know, any great interviews that we come out with that you might otherwise miss. So if you don't know how to subscribe via RSS, go up to thepodcastnetwork.com. You'll see a bit of an FAQ there on how to subscribe to podcasts using RSS. It's quite simple these days. You can do it via iTunes or you can do it via any number of other tools out there today provided by everyone from, Yahoo to Doppler, etc. Or Juice, done by our good mate Garth up in Sydney. He's one of the developers. The other thing that would be really cool, we haven't asked you for a while, but would be to go and vote for the show over at somewhere like Podcast Alley. On the G'day World show, if you go to the G'day World site, podcastnetwork.com/G'day_world, down the right-hand column, you'll see a vote tool. If you go down there, you can actually vote for us on Podcast Alley. If you go and do that every now and again, it only takes a second to do, and it'll just raise the profile of the G'day World show on some of these sites like Podcast Alley, which brings in more audience, which at the end of the day helps us get more advertisers, which helps us keep doing this thing and annoying you for another year. So thanks very much for listening, and now back to the interview. Very cool. So, you know, go back in time. Tell us a little bit about what it was like being a beta tester for WordPerfect.
Well, you know, I started at WordPerfect. So WordPerfect was a great, great company that came out of Utah, and Alan Ashton and Bruce Bastian, and they started the company, and it became a really, really hot commodity really fast, especially because there was no word processor in the DOS. And so when I started at WordPerfect, it was really a hot place to be. They were growing like crazy. They basically had the only word processing application on the market. Because Microsoft really hadn't done anything, you know, they'd been with the whole IBM thing and kind of broken out, and they hadn't really introduced anything. When Windows 3.1 or 3.0 hit, that started to change everything. But in the beginning days of WordPerfect, you know, it was growing like crazy. It was a fabulous place to work. And then as, you know, Microsoft became more powerful, it definitely disrupted what WordPerfect had done. They just didn't move fast enough into that new Windows world to be able to capture the market. But It was a great place to work and to, you know, even though I worked on the old Vax VMS stuff and then eventually it went into the Alpha platform. But it was a great place to, you know, learn what, you know, testing meant and how we were going to international customers. We had a lot of international work. And obviously the people with the Vax VMS machines were big mainframe houses.
Yeah. Still a lot of them out there.
I know, it's great. Yeah, when I was at Novell, I was working with our Compaq partnership, and they bought the digital guys.
Yep.
And those guys still have massive business.
Oh yeah, I mean, I worked at Microsoft for quite a few years, and I know there's a lot of companies around Australia that are still running VMS, and you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is.
Now, you were named as the 2005 V Spring Capital Top 100 Venture Entrepreneur. That's a mouthful. Did you get a plaque or a badge? What's one of those?
Yeah, I did get a nice little plaque. Well, we've got some local venture companies here, VSpring being one of them, and they started this program actually a couple of years ago, where they take and they kind of have a list, and then it gets added to, and basically the peers inside of that community go in and vote for kind of the top entrepreneurs inside of that community, and everyone gets, like, I think it's 3 or 4 votes, and anyway, it goes through this kind of statistical system, and then basically they get ranked. And basically, it's just a recognition mostly inside of our Utah community of people who are entrepreneurs. And I think the end result that they say is it's those people that they predict that over the next kind of 5 to 7 years will be running the the startup companies and the companies inside of the community.
So you got that for your work with NextPage?
Uh-huh, for my work with NextPage, and then some of the stuff I do outside of just NextPage. I sit on the advisory board of Brigham Young University's e-business center and started the marketing executive forum inside of the state and those kind of things.
So tell us a little bit about how NextPage came about.
You know, so it's been about, well, in 99, so what happened is we had, so a little bit of history. So Utah has had a lot of really great companies kind of start up and come out of those. And one of those companies back about the same time of WordPerfect was a company called Folio, and you probably used their product or seen it a number of times. It was a desktop search application, a heavy client search application, and if anyone's ever used it, it had the little word wheel thing where you type in the words and eventually it would tell you how many, you know, there are 500 hits of this, and then you add another word and let's go down and say there's 175. Anyway, it was a pretty huge application inside of the CD and desktop publishing market, and it had been sold to Lexis. And then it got sold to Open Market, and Open Market wasn't at the time doing much with it, and it needed a next generation. And so put together some angel investors to go in and actually buy the Folio product from Open Market. So we bought that product, and then we built the whole next generation on top of that that we called NXT. And we continued to sell that into professional services and professional publishing organizations. We ended up with, you know, three of the top four professional services firms, top insurance companies, top banks, and 7 of the top 10 professional publishing firms all using that technology basically to publish content out to their people. And then the other thing it allowed them to do is syndicate that content into other places. So we created what we called this content network, where the AICPA or FASB, which are standards bodies for accounting practices in the states, they were to publish information. If they published it in our format, which they did, they could syndicate it directly into, like, a Deloitte. And then that content could be then aggregated with Deloitte's content and pushed out to all of the auditors on their desktops. So we picked up that business, and we built that business. Actually, we made it profitable, and last September we sold it to Fast Search and Transfer, who's out of Norway.
Oh, okay. So you were acquired by them?
We sold that business unit.
Oh, okay. So, and then what was NextPage left with then? Just the document management stuff?
Exactly.
Right.
So we kept the whole document management services portion of the business and all the engineers and heads associated with that.
Oh, excellent. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, so that's been fun. So that was a fun ride, built that up, and then we said, you know, we think this is other opportunities that has a really high growth potential, so let's go deploy our capital against that. And it ended up being a really great thing for both business units.
Okay, so let's get back to podcasting. So as a marketing professional with a lot of experience in the IT space, why do you think we're not seeing more of your peers latching onto podcasting as a tool?
So that's a really interesting question. I've thought about it a lot, because actually the conference that I had Sue Sherman come in when we did the broadcast was specifically on that, kind of not just podcasting but blogging and kind of that whole thing. I think that there are a huge amount of marketers that are uneducated as to the new technologies coming out. And it could be, potentially it's a mix of multiple things. One of those being that you're so much stuck in the traditional, like, oh, these are the objectives we have to meet, this is how we've always done stuff, and, you know, we at least know what the success metrics of this are, let's continue to do that. So I think there's some uneducation. I also think you have a fair number of marketing people who also aren't super tech savvy, so they don't necessarily like jump on the early waves of these types of things. But I think there's a huge opportunity. I mean, when I walked out of the last meeting with our marketing forum, I just, you know, I was very compelled to say, okay, every one of these businesses should be able to do this because it's just exactly what they need for their audiences. It makes its information so much more consumable. But I also believe that you have to be, as marketers, you have to be really careful with what type of content you produce, because I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that people who have probably tried it in the marketing space, there's a huge segment of those who try it just to be marketing hype, just to say, hey, let me spin this, let me give you our exact message. And I think that's actually the wrong thing to do for this type of audience. And so I think, you know, you end up with people who are going to do that, and ultimately that won't work. And then it really requires this new breed, I believe, this new breed of thinking, and the willing to kind of branch out and say, let's go try these types of things. Let's be innovative. Let's be leading edge. And you have to recognize that consumers are really they need information in a different format. I mean, the iPod and video blogging and streaming media is fundamentally going to change how everyone consumes information. There's no doubt about it. And you can't, you know, that just being stuck in that traditional thing, I think, ultimately hurts people's ability to get the message out.
Yeah, but what I like about the way that you've approached this to date is that you haven't just said, okay, new device, new channel, let's take, you know, all the same old marketing collateral that we've always had and stuff it down that channel. You've said, well, you know, people may not be interested in just listening to us talk about NextPage all the time, but if we can add value to their day by bringing them relevant content about business or about our industry or what's going on in Utah or whatever it is, then we can, you know, add value to their life. And I gather that the assumption there is that if NextPage is providing them with useful material that they're downloading and listening to, it's just continuing to keep a positive residual feeling about your brand in front of them.
That's right. You know, it's exactly. I think there's some branding part in there, and obviously because I'm small, you know, the ability to create awareness. And I also believe over time that those relationships and kind of conversations that it's helping us create ultimately over time have a great impact on our business. We might not exactly know what that is today, but, you know, after we did some of our podcasts and when they got posted, Jeff Barr, who runs web services for Amazon, he shoots over and he's like, hey, I just saw your podcast. I'm going to be in Utah. I'd love to stop by and catch up. And those are just, you know, fabulous relationships today and in the future that help us evolve our strategy, that help us understand customers better, and that help us ultimately, you know, continue to build products that people adopt, that they use, and, you know, further the kind of problems and passion that we have about the things that we're trying to do.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is going to be a learning curve as well for marketers and advertisers over the next couple of years around these technologies is when they look at the ratings or the download stats around a podcast, the temptation will, when they're used to talking in terms of millions of viewers or millions of readers that their message is getting out to, when a podcast is only listened to by 1,000 people or, you know, 10,000 people, I think they sometimes struggle in dealing with that sort of order of magnitude of numbers. And it's helping them understand, well, you know, that 1,000 people that listen to that show is actually the right 1,000 people that you want to be getting to. The people who are taking the time and effort to download and listen to a show about document management or about whatever the subject is, if your product is relevant to that space, this is actually a hardcore bunch of
users. Well, qualified customers. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting aspect. And, you know, I actually believe it really is just broader than that, right? It's these relationships with people. So if I didn't start podcasting, right, I would never would have met you. Right? And we'd never create a relationship there, or all of these hundreds of other people whose now paths that you cross, and ultimately, you know, those are things that are really, really important. And, you know, one of those things that marketing has kind of gone through, especially in this funny transition where, you know, relationships used to get created at events. I went to, we used to go to the Frankfurt Book Fair, and, you know, which has like 10 places and there's 100,000 people that go and visit it. Well, the reason you went to the Frankfurt Book Fair is because that's where deals happened.
Yeah.
And every time you went there, it was like you had a room inside your booth and you met with, you know, the lead executives at Wolters Kluwer or at Thomson, and you were going to close a deal. And as events, you know, went away and the internet kind of revolutionized how people got information, relationships didn't quite come along. And so then it became a lot more of a push type of my messaging content. You know, even though kind of the one-to-one messaging of the 2000s was just all about, oh, take your individual message, but it's still electronic and push it out there. And I think the thing that, you know, blogs and podcasts and even video blogs allow us to do is create more of this personal approach, right? I love having a conversation with you. I love meeting those new people. And I love expanding, you know, that circle of people that we can talk to and communicate to. And ultimately, that's better for everyone in all of their businesses.
You know, after I chat with you this morning, I'm chatting to Doc Searls, who, you know, famously came up with the phrase, markets are conversations. And I'm reminded of that on a daily basis. You know, you're absolutely right. This is all about having genuine human conversations as businesses, rediscovering the art of having a conversation with your stakeholders, not just your users and not just your customers, but, you know, with all of your stakeholders involved in your business, having conversations with your partners, having conversations with your investors, etc., with your employees. Yeah.
Exactly. There's just so many people, you know, that influence, and you really never know which one of those relationships are going to help you achieve, you know, the next transaction, the next deal, the next relationship. And so you just have to treat, I think, all of those, you know, with a certain amount of respect and trust. And you just reminded me is, because I'm a huge believer in those markets or conversations. And I actually take a personal interest in, you know, anytime someone, they have kind of an issue or, you know, they tell us a complaint about the software or they send us back a message, I'm very involved in making sure that there's an immediate kind of personal response. Hey, I saw you sent this. Is everything okay? Or what can we do for that? Because, you know, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, wait, let me open up and tell you what happened. And for us, that in turn lets us come back and say, hey, in the product space, hey, this is very specific product feedback. This person was, you know, kind enough to come back and say, hey, this is what I ran into, or, you know, this is what I'd love for your product to do. And then that allows us as a business to improve so much more rapidly than we could without that information.
Yeah.
And so I think that marketed conversations goes through everything. You know, it's from your email dialogues all the way through other new mediums you can take advantage of.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how, you know, a genuine human response to a complaint can diffuse it fairly quickly, isn't it? There's something inherent in us as people, I think, that, and I think ironically we've kind of been conditioned over the last few decades to not expect to get a human response. And in fact,
yep.
One of the things that the internet has done is, you know, you kind of expect to get a form email response if you get any response, form letters and form email responses back. And, you know, the ability to turn that around and start providing people with a genuine human response, I think, can diffuse many situations, just because it takes people by surprise, if nothing else.
Exactly. And, you know, it's real. It's, you make me laugh because I'm reminded both at Blog On and a number of places, right, is you talk to any of the teenagers, right, and they all use text messaging, right, for communication. And I've often wondered if that ultimately creates a generation that can't communicate in real relationships over time, because it takes out some of that human. Although it's still good, it's still conversation. But it's interesting that you know, those types of conversations, they, or the email and the electronic, or just those forms, they really they kind of inhibit some of what used to happen in real conversations, or over the phone conversations even.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I had another one of the authors of the Clue Train Manifesto on a couple of weeks ago, David Weinberger. But did you see David's presentation at Blog On?
Yeah, I saw David actually. We had lunch together too, so yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So he's fantastic. But he and I were talking about this on the show about how some people criticize the internet as a communication medium as sort of breaking down human relationships. Or they talk about blogs or podcasts and say, oh, you know, these people just talking about their cat or talking about what they did on the weekend and how inane and mundane it is. And you say, well, if you tapped in and listened in on the telephone conversations of the world, you'd say exactly the same things. This is what people talk about. This is what human conversation is. And a lot of it, to anyone else looking in, would say it is mundane and inane. But to the people in that conversation, that's real life, right? And I guess we're trying to figure out how we take these new technologies and apply them in a business sense to enable businesses to have a more intimate conversation with their marketplace. So congratulations, Sid. You've done some great stuff, and I really think you're a pioneer in this space, and you deserve a lot of credit.
Oh, well, you're kind. It's really a fun ride. We obviously don't have everything figured out yet, but we're trying, you know, and the nice part about it is it's flexible enough that you can go, hey, that worked really well. Oh, nope, we shouldn't do that again. Okay, yeah, let's go this direction. And, you know, ultimately, customers are everything for a business. And so if we can figure out how to create value for them, it ultimately creates value for us.
Good on you. Thanks very much for coming on and chatting, Sid. I really appreciate it. It's nice to catch up with you again.
It was great to catch up with you. I appreciate it. You're probably up really early your time, so thank you.
No, it's 9:30 in the morning here.
Oh, okay, you're good.
I've even had coffee.
Oh, well then, no problems. have to head this direction and go skiing.
Oh, I wouldn't know how to ski. I come from beach kind of places, man. I'm scared of the snow.
Oh, well, you know, come here anytime for 6 months and you can ski every day of the year.
I've got a really good friend of mine who lives just outside of Salt Lake, so I'd love to go and visit him sometime.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you do, please stop by.
I will. Thank you, Sid. Have a great night, and good luck with the podcast moving forwards. We'll be keeping an eye out for it. Nextpage.com for the listeners.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey. Yeah, it's me. Yeah, from the beginning. That's right. I'm back at the end. I waited around for the entire podcast just to tell you that it was brought to you by Motorola. Yeah, dude. I gotta get some nachos. I am so hungry. Are there any near your house?
The Podcast Network. Real power can't be given.
It must be taken.